Turn then, please, to John chapter 20, and we'll get into that in just a minute. We talk about being an old church on a new journey. This church building is nearly 200 years old. It has an incredible heritage, and the bishops have invited Lizzie and myself and the team that we brought here to initiate a fresh expression, if you like, of church, a new community that's represented here. We're so thrilled to have you, to be a church that has a vision on behalf of the bishop and the team there for the whole of the city. That's a big, crazy dream, but it's our prayer and our dreams and our desires to be a blessing to the city. And by the city, I mean, of course, the two cities and 10 boroughs that make up Greater Manchester, just to get that in there to be politically correct. But we're here and we are so happy to have you. I'm wishing that I had in my hand a welcome card, but I'm wondering if somebody at the back can wave one at me. Thank you, Rick. If you look at the back, Rick in the lovely check shirt has a welcome card. If you're new to us today and you live anywhere within Greater Manchester, we'd love you to fill in a welcome card so that we can stay in touch with you. We'll send you an email to say hi, and we'll find out from you what it is that you'd like to get involved with us here as a church. But we are here. We talk about loving and serving Jesus, each other, Greater Manchester and beyond. So loving and serving Jesus, it's all about worship, which is why we wanted to sing some songs of praise to God for what he has done for us in Jesus. Loving and serving each other, we're here as community. We love one another. Jesus said, the world will know that you love me when they see how you love each other. So that's why we're investing in connect groups. It's why we have tea and coffee before and after church gatherings. Not that we've got it after now, but we have got an Easter egg hunt. I forgot to mention that, kids. Hold on. The Easter egg hunt is coming. Just need to pray that the weather forecast is wrong, because it does say it's almost 100% chance of rain. So let's just pray it stays dry until the Easter egg hunt is over. So we're loving and serving Jesus, loving and serving each other, loving and serving Greater Manchester and beyond. That's why we went into Spinningfield with 500 cream eggs to be a blessing. Perhaps it wasn't a blessing to those who were trying to be on a diet, but we were trying to be a blessing by encouraging those people who'd come for an egg hunt that Jesus loves them. One guy said to me, he said, are you sure I can have one? I'm not religious at all. And I said, well, Jesus still loves you anyway. Of course you can have one. And that's the prayer. That's the dream. That whether people know Jesus or not, they come to discover a God who loves them because of what we see Jesus did for us. And that is where we turn then to John chapter 20. And we're starting in verse 1. It says this, early on the first day of the week, and in those days that was Sunday, because Sabbath was the rest day, so Sunday was the first day of the week. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, she was somebody who'd followed Jesus and seen him crucified and laid his body in the tomb on the Friday. She went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now, in the old days, to stop people going in and stealing stuff from tombs, they used to roll a massive stone in front of them. So there would be an entrance. It was probably like a cave. It might have been chiseled out, and there would have been a shelf that you put it on. In theory, it was slightly colder. It was darker. So you could put the body in there to rest whilst you were getting ready to bury it formally. So it had been put on there on the Friday, and Mary was going back to get the body ready for the funeral. But the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. And we tend to think that that's John, the guy who wrote this gospel. She said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. Interesting. Don't quite know what that's in there. Yeah, I was fitter than you, Peter. Just letting everybody know that. The other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went inside and saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in there, in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Isn't it kind of obvious why I'm crying? "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that she had said, that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God. Now, this is our Swiffer sweeper vac. It says up there, Easter changes everything. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today let me tell you that this changes everything. Or at least when Lizzie and I bought it when we lived in America, it changed everything. You see, the Swiffer sweeper vac, I know you're thinking, what in the world is he talking about? I thought I'd come to church, not a sales pitch. What happens with a Swiffer sweeper vac is that you can put a wet cloth underneath here, ladies and gentlemen, and then you put this down, and so you can sweep along hard floors, and it vacuums up all the dust and mops at the same time. This changes everything. They don't sell them in this country. I don't know why not. I am thinking of starting up a local business to sell the Swiffer sweeper vac. But when Lizzie and I got this, when we lived in America, it changed everything. When it broke, we got another one because it changed everything. And Lizzie and occasionally I, and very occasionally the kids, would go around the kitchen whizzing around. This became known as Lizzie's whizzer. It changed everything until recently it stopped working. The battery died. No more whizzing. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating. We have to use a broom, ladies and gentlemen. We have to use a dustpan and brush. How awful is that? We live in the 21st century. The Swiffer sweeper vac no longer does what it said it would do. It's not living up to its promises. And I wonder today if anything or anyone has ever let you down, has ever not lived up to the promises, or made you feel like the picture of this little boy. How do we deal with disappointment? How do we deal with frustration? I wonder if it was a parent who let you down, who perhaps promised that they'd play football with you, but never quite made it their priority. Maybe it was a teacher. "I promise if you study hard enough, you'll pass your exam." I wonder if it was a friend. "I promise I'll be there for you, whatever happens," until they're just a bit too busy. Maybe it was a business partner. "I promise you this deal will come off." Maybe it was a lender. We've had this one. "I promise that the purchase will go up in value." Or maybe it was a child of yours. "I promise I had nothing to do with it." When we're let down, it leads to sadness or confusion or frustration or disappointment. And we ask this most basic question: why? We might ask questions about ourselves. Why did we believe in them? Why did I trust them? Why did I think that they would be able to fulfill those promises? Or we might ask questions about them. Why did they do that? I thought they were different. And the disciples of Jesus were almost certainly going through these thoughts and emotions on that first Easter day. Because Jesus, you see, had spent 3 years going around preaching the kingdom of God. God is near to you, Jesus said. But he didn't just preach it, he demonstrated. Hundreds, if not thousands of people had literally been healed by Jesus touching them and restoring health to their bodies, just as we heard Moira speaking about today. They'd seen thousands of people fed with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How amazing is that? The kingdom of God healing and delivering and providing for people. They'd seen Jesus calm the storm with just one word. They'd seen Lazarus, a friend of theirs, brought out from a tomb when he had been dead for 4 days. He stank, and yet he walked out alive because Jesus gave him his life back. They'd followed Jesus, and they had done some of these things themselves. They'd seen people healed as they had prayed, as some of us did with Moira. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one, the chosen one that was written about in the Old Testament scriptures, the one who God would send to fulfill the prophecies, the promises, and deliver his people, just as Moses had delivered the people of God through the Red Sea from slavery in Egypt those years ago. So what now? Jesus is dead. What about all the promises? How could we have got it so wrong? If you're with us today and you've got questions about God, then you're not alone. If you're here with us today and you have doubts about God, then you're not alone. That's exactly how Jesus' disciples felt that first Easter morning. Questions, doubts, confusion. God has made all these claims and they appear to have come to nothing. But that is why Easter Day changes everything. Because the women who went to the tomb of Jesus to prepare the body for the funeral, to add to their disappointment, the stone had been rolled away. The body wasn't even there. How bad can it get? Peter and John discovered the linen wrappings, but no body. And one of the other translations, it's hard to translate some of this scripture, and one of the other translations says they found the linen folded up and the face cloth that was covering Jesus' face rolled up and put to one side. This wasn't a grave robber. This wasn't somebody plundering it to try and get stuff for themselves. What in the world is going on? I don't know if you noticed it, but when John got in to the grave and saw what had happened, it said this fascinating verse. The other disciple, John, saw and believed. They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And I don't know about you, but this is so often the way with me. So often the way with the journey of faith. Lord, I don't get it, but I trust you're up to something. Lord, I don't understand, but I do believe. And if today you don't believe, the invitation is this: to look at the evidence of Jesus' resurrection. You may not fully understand it. I don't fully understand it. But you can believe it. Mary meets the man she thinks is the gardener. And it's as he calls her name that she recognizes it's Jesus. Today, Jesus is calling your name. Today, Jesus is calling my name. I love this painting by James Martin of the moment where Mary falls on her knees as she recognizes it's Jesus in worship, in intimacy, in joy, in wonder, in relief. It's not that his body's been stolen. He's alive. That's what makes sense of the grave clothes and the face cloth rolled carefully. That's what makes sense of all the promises of Scripture. That's what makes sense of Jesus' teaching about God's kingdom, that having brought healing and deliverance to many, he's now defeated death itself. Jesus has been raised from the dead. That is why Easter changes everything. Lazarus was brought back to life, but later he died again. Jesus has been raised to life. And as he said to Mary, he's ascended to the Father. He's still alive with that resurrection life. And it's this life he shares with us through the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit like getting a new battery for my Swiffer. But a new kind of battery that will never run out. They haven't designed it yet, but one day maybe. But this resurrection life is like plugging in the Swiffer and it never running out of charge again. That is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. It's new life, you see. That's why the Bible talks about as being a new creation or a new birth. And that's why we're going to baptize Sarah and Richard in this water, because baptism is an ancient sign of dying to an old way of life and a new birth, rising to a new way of living. It's a way of saying, there may be a whole bunch of things I don't understand. I choose to trust and follow Jesus. Peter, the one who ran a bit faster, remember him? The good runner. Explained later in Acts chapter 10, all the prophets, all the promises of the Old Testament testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. See, through what Jesus achieved in his death and resurrection, he's made a way for us to be forgiven by God and start a new way of life. A new life where we're forgiven, a new life where we're free, a new life where we're brought into relationship with God the Father who loves us through what Jesus has done, and with the Holy Spirit lives in us, empowering us with the resurrection life. And it's this life that continues beyond death itself. How do we know? Because Jesus is risen. Death, as the Bible puts it, has been swallowed up in victory. Freedom and forgiveness has been won. Easter changes everything. So if you follow Jesus today, there is no better day to celebrate new life, resurrection life. Jesus is risen. And if you don't know Jesus, today is a great day to ask him for that new life, to ask him for that forgiveness, that freedom. Lord, I don't really get it, but I do believe. I might not understand it, but I want that freedom that you give. Forgive my sin and let me know the resurrection power of freedom, forgiveness, and love. Easter changes everything.